Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Dow where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tanami, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. The S&P futures down 42. Yeah, 42. Dow futures down 341. Nasdaq futures down 132. This is in response to U.S. strike that killed a top Iranian general in Iraq yesterday, or last night, late last night. We're still trying to get it together on this end. We're hoping that as the show goes on, we'll piece it together, but I'm not exactly sure what this does, to be honest with you. Anyway, I'm lost on this one. Kevin, what about you?
Oh, lost. Not completely lost, but I'm with you. There's a lot of pieces to put together, and a lot of knee-jerk reaction. Just based on. Based on political affiliation going on right now, and I think the from a commentary standpoint, it's probably a better idea to just sort of lay back and let it unfold. My favorite though was the guy on MSNBC who said, "Right move, wrong commander in chief." And I thought, well, that's a deep thought.
I just thought I'm trying to, on the way in, Mitty and I were talking about, I'm trying to pick my brain for anything somewhat similar. I know the U.S. killed in essentially, I won't say a private plane, but a small military plane. Didn't we kill Admiral Yamamoto? Going from base to base, World War II, we knew he was on the plane and we went and got it?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, that was a full state of war.
That would be more in your sweet spot in terms of history than mine.
But here's my, as I walk through the questions on this, Kevin, and the weird part of it is a lot of what I'm going to say now has to do a lot of what you and I and what Lou and what Fari and everybody's been talking about for kind of a long time. There doesn't seem to be this playbook. We're not at war with these people, officially. Does anybody care about that anymore?
Except that they, the general's organization was added to the list of terrorist organizations almost a year ago. So, in that regard, yeah, we kind of are.
Okay, you know, that's another thing. I don't know exactly what this war on terror means. I mean, honestly, don't. How does somebody? We're going to have a war on the word terror. I don't war on anybody we don't like. Now, does this turn? I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just asking the question, and does this mean that we can kill people that we think might not like us? Do we have to try them? Do they have to do something first?
We had to do something first.
Okay, but I guess
otherwise they would have gone and gotten them a long time ago.
Okay. Now I guess what I'm just walking down a chain of my logical process here. Look, we have Iran.
When have you ever had a logical process?
Oh, I try to.
Oh, okay.
But
all right.
We have
Let's walk you through it then.
Okay, so we've got this Iran that's owned by Saddam Hussein, who's a really bad guy, but he's sort of our bad guy. We're not sure why, but he's somewhat secular and he keeps the area somewhat together. So we left him in power, first Kuwait war, for just that reason. Then out of the blue, years later, even though he had nothing to do with the 9/11 stuff, we decided we're gonna invade. We have no idea why. We claim weapons of mass destruction. Never found them. But nothing was any worse that month than it was the year before that. So we go in there, we break this thing. Now we're there, we're all kinds of people. Allegedly, our leaders were all concerned about the oil. We managed to totally putz up the government afterward, which probably was too big of a job for anybody. Not criticizing our people, because I'm not so sure Solomon would have been able to put that one together, but we never had really had a plan. So then Obama comes in and says, we're out. Okay, so we're out. But we're really not out. We still have people there. Who the hell are the people and what are they doing? Nobody knows. At least I don't. I mean, we have contractors, we have this. I mean, what are they doing? They're making money off somebody. They're selling bullets to both sides. I mean, what the bleep are we doing there? Then all of a sudden, somebody knocks off a few contractors and other people, which I don't want to see anybody get killed. We have a strike out of nowhere, and then they come to the embassy, and now we kill this. I mean, can anybody tell me what the bleep is going on over there? What we think we're still doing? What is our plan? Are we just going to disrupt everybody? I mean, do we have a side? Are we officially in this civil war? Is there a civil war? I mean, those are quite a few questions, Kevin. And I don't know. I have no clue. I don't see it in any paper. I don't see it in any TV show. I don't see it anywhere. What's going on over there? And all of a sudden, out of the blue now, we're assassinating some guy. And spoons are down 45, and people are threatening retaliation. This is a quick trip down this road. Just saying.
Yeah, Pompeo did an interview a month or so ago, and he was asked about some of this stuff, though. And he said, yeah, if they, you know, it's kind of if they lay a finger on anything. In fact, that may have been in the aftermath of the attack. If you remember Trump pulling the plug on a counterattack on because it was going to get too many civilians.
Yeah.
It was in the aftermath of that, and he said, you know, he was pretty clear about, make no mistake about it, though, we will, you know, if there's a direct attack on any U.S. interest, that they will...
What exactly were the contractors... You know what, Kevin, we have Fari calling, and he says that he can help us out here for a few minutes, but I'm just curious, what are these contractors doing over there? Are they my interest? Are they your interest? Whose interests are they?
Good morning, Kevin. Hey, good Fari. Morning, Chief.
Good morning.
Fari, help us out with this.
Well, it's the next thing that I can. I have as much information as you guys do as of this moment, but maybe we can synthesize it a little bit further. I don't know who the contractor was, but I think this is the timing is a very, very curious in terms of interest. We sent 750 paratroopers yesterday in, right? That was public information. There were three convoys. They hit the right convoy. He was in the last convoy. They hit that. They did not hit the other two. So there was human intelligence involved. The folks on the ground helped us out. And this guy's a very, very bad guy. You have to understand that. He comes from a part of Iran called Kerman. Highly religious. He was highly respected within the confines of the supreme leader operations, and to one point he would call him his son. Now, my other question to myself is, was this somebody they wanted to get rid of? Because when you get too popular in Iran, especially on the military side, this happened under Shah also, General Khatami, head of the Air Force. All of a sudden, one day he passed away on a kite practice. I'm not saying it's a conspiracy issue, but back then they said, this guy's one of the best guys. What happened? He was one of the best kite fire pilots too. Bad weather, maybe, whatever. But all of a sudden, at the key point where he may be a foundation for one side of the equation, got liquidated. This was a precise hit. This was no, as the first reported, Katusha missile attacks. These were drone attacks, and they were precise. They hit the right convoy of the three. This guy never slept in the same place twice, two nights in a row. You know, he saved Baghdad. He and McChrystal did a deal.
Fari, are you suggesting the possibility then that somebody from the Iranian side set him up?
I cannot rule that out, Kevin. That's why I cannot rule that out. Right now, with what's going on in Iran, I think the regime is on total paranoia. And even though he is called my son by the supreme leader, and if you see a lot of events, if he shows up, he's either close to him Well, he's next to him, okay? And remember, he's done nothing else. He came out of Cameroon, got drafted, came to Tehran, religious, the war happens with Iraq. He has been in the front line 40 years. He's been in this Hezbollah quite a bit. In southern Lebanon, in Syria, he's the one who saw Putin. Putin is not happy about this, I guarantee you. He went to see Putin a week later. Soviets arrived in Syria and saved Assad. Assad was about to be liquidated. He's the one who, he went from Tehran to Moscow, flew with the Soviets into Syria, and everything changed. Wow. So maybe he got too popular for his own good. I don't know. He had always said he will not will run for office or want to be a politician. He says, I'm a military man. This is my country. I'm going to do what I need to do. Except he did a lot of undercover crap. He did a lot of illegal stuff. He did stuff that no military officer would do. He's got a lot of people on his hands.
Well, and besides, if you're a top-level general, you are a politician.
Absolutely.
We try, some of them not to be, but you, in generalities, you're right, Kevin.
Whenever you got to make a million different people from different walks of life happy in any job, you're a politician by definition, whether you think you are or not. Right?
My issue is the response. That's what I'm trying to say. For example, last night, immediately what we did, we went flat. Big mistake. Monday morning, we're all good quarterbacks, right? This is the beginning of something big, probably. And I should have just gone short. It's 44 handles I left on the table. Now, we've been long for a while. We've been nailing it on the long side. But I didn't precisely hit it myself. Here's the reason. We arrived at this point. Iran reportedly has trained 50,000 suicide bombers. Not today or yesterday. They've been having this for a long time, saying it is the asynchronous war. We're not going to have B-2s. We're not going to have F-16s. But we're going to swarm them with people that are willing to give their lives and go to paradise. Maybe get 72 virgins.
Sorry,
give me a 50% discount. Give me 36 blondes right here.
Right, we were talking.
Give me one experience.
Yeah,
and I'll be happier.
Sorry. What?
We talked. Kevin, that's not a bad deal. I'm giving 50% discount. Give me 36 right here.
Sorry, we talked a little last week. You and I talked, and Lou and I talked, Kevin and I talk about it all the time. All these places that are hotbeds, financially and otherwise, fall off the pages of the news, and you have no idea what exactly is going on in Iraq. We obviously still have people there, even though we were out. But now, obviously the Iranians are pushing through there. But I honestly don't believe...
Well, they're trying to create a corridor there. If you step back from a geography standpoint, they got their hands from anywhere, somewhere in eastern China, all the way to Mediterranean. And Iraq happened to be right there. Right there, along that path. Imagine what they could do if they could go through this corridor. Why I say that? You know, a lot of fighters, when they brought that died in southern Lebanon and they brought them back, or Syria, so Afghanis. These are the recruits they get out of Afghanistan because they have nothing better. There is no economy. So they give them a job, they give them food, they give them clothing, they give them to basic training, ship them to southern Lebanon, ship them to Syria to fight. Imagine if you could support all of that direct, on the ground. You don't have to fly. You don't have to file everything or be subject to any inspection. What would that do? It's a way to spit in our face, in a way saying, your foreign policy isn't working. Your B-2s are no good because I've got people willing to die for me. Remember the movie The Siege?
Yeah.
2 years before 9/11 with, what's her name? Annette Bening and... what's his name? The fellow who played in the Crimson Tide. Washington. Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
He said, be careful of the ones who are committed.
Well, here's what I'm fishing for. They have, obviously, a big Shia population in Iraq. They've got the Kurds.
Southern Iraq.
That are messing with the Turks on the north side. So then you've got the Sunni population. But I refuse to believe that, those people don't really like each other at all on their own. I mean, everything the Shia do is not because of Iran, even though our our media here and our government seems to say that if one of those guys goes to the outhouse, it's because somebody in Iran told him to. I think if Iran didn't exist, there'd still be tension in Iran.
The Shia is based on the 12 Imams, okay? It started after the fourth Khalifa. The first was Muhammad, there were fourth Khalifa. Fourth one was Ali, which was the first Imam, and he was the niece of Muhammad. This goes back to 1400 years ago plus. That Shia detour, if you will, or the fork in the road, started then. They've had bloodshed, they've had difference of opinion, they've had peace, they had lovey-dovey, and then again, the cycle repeats itself. This is not going to go away, because it hasn't gone away for 1400 years.
The
problem is the concept, eye for an eye. If there was forgiveness, like you have in the Roman Catholic Church, things would be different. There is no forgiveness. It's all punishment.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is Iraq is a bleep hole, not just because of Iran. It was that way to start with. I mean, am I right or not?
Well, it wasn't this bad. Listen, Colin Jopp is right. If you break it, you own it.
Yeah.
It wasn't this bad. Now, it had other issues that were bad. Don't get me wrong. Look at what his sons were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Yeah, yeah. And look at what they were doing with sanctions. What they were doing to people and what they were doing on the sanction money, the medicine. If you go back and read these reports, there was a lot going on there that was wrong.
Well, when we gave them the
country together. Hold on. It's like the Shah. Shah said, when I go, Iran goes. When Iran goes, Middle East will go. Why? Shah held the country together. In Iran, we have 26 different dialects. Okay? You have quite a bit of different people. This could be creating a massive, massive, like Albanian situation, Montenegro and Herzegovina, the country was split in so many pieces. Why? Because for 40 years it's been held together. Under the Shah, 37 years were held together by a strong man, if you will. You take that away, and that was Saddam was. You take that away, you get a fragmentation. In effect, now you got Kurds and the Shias running the two sides with the money, with the oil and population. Sunnis are a minority.
Some of the stuff with the sons, you know, I don't know what I was doing at the time, but I was pretty much up on the subject. When they were letting Iraq sell some oil, but the people who were running the program
for medicine.
Yeah, but the people who were running the program here, I don't know where we find these people, Farrah. They were so friggin' ignorant. They said, okay, but you can't sell it at market price. Okay, right. Well, everybody knows that it's going to go at market price, right? Somehow it means there's going to be a finger in the pie, right?
I would also argue with you. Almost none of it goes at market price because over there they make a deal with you. You sign the paper, they walk out, and they want a new deal.
Right,
there's a lot of below market demand.
Right, but what happened was
tanker by tanker.
What happened was Total and a couple of those places went over and said, "We'll buy the oil for medical purposes." By the way, the going rate's $20. These idiots say I can only give you 12, and that's when Saddam's son said, "Well, give me the other 8," and they did.
Yeah,
right.
Yes,
they're better off just giving them the 20.
You think what is happening now in Iran with sanctions in Iran? Dubai was built because of the Iranian sanctions. Who's there? All the pseudo or naked LLCs that are owned by the IRGC. I mean, or IGRC, like that, right? The Imperial Guard, the Iranian program, Soleimani was one of the top-notch guys there. If it was he's not number one there, but he was the number one. Probably two or three in terms of ranking. But these guys pocketed money at Dubai out of the sanctions. In Iran, you can find anything. Just exorbitant prices. Why? They go through Dubai. That's how Dubai economy was good. Where was Dubai 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Nothing. Go back. Ten years ago. Dubai was nothing. Look where it is now.
Farrah, one final question on the Iraq situation.
I got one.
Okay, but one final question. When we say we're out, when Obama said we're out, what does out mean?
We were never out.
But I'm saying, how many people do we have there now? Still 10,000, 5,000? I mean, we're not out, obviously.
I have no idea. And the part that really is not the military types, it's the covert guys. It's the guys who are paramilitary. That's what matters. Because that's the intelligence and that's the punch. What they could do, the B-2s couldn't do. This is a precision war. That's why on the other side says, "Hey, I don't have your satellites, but I have 50,000 suicide bombers coming in this orbit in every city all at once."
All right,
I mean,
bud.
The challenge in front of us. There's a force protection. It just went exponentially higher.
Well, I hope that this doesn't get crazy. We don't need it. It's not needed.
Well, this is my strategy trade-wise, guys, for those of you, the traders who are listening. I'm going to take a pause here, see how things move around, but we definitely have to re-engage this market strongly come Sunday or Monday afternoon, depending on as we go through each close. But let's see how things go forward. I just think being long here is done for a while. Stay short.
What about, I'm going to get a little bit of a blessing here in my gold today. Should I just take it and run or stay in?
Stay in. You got better things coming.
All right, buddy.
Okay, comrades.
Thanks, bud. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you all guys. Right. Thanks, Kevin. Right. Bye-bye.
Farhi does have some interesting views on these things because he's got guys there, Kevin. I just always have a problem with us having guys everywhere, like, doing stuff. I mean, is this, in the current situation, is Congress a part of this? Or are we not? We're not talking? I don't see any situation where the president, no matter how much he dislikes Congress, can keep this from those committees. And I'm not saying that he is. They could be all up and down on it and be right with them. And I hope whatever it is they're doing that they are. But if this is all being done in a vacuum, I just don't know what the definition of being at war and not at war anymore is, Kevin. I'd like somebody to give it to me.
Well, we got done declaring wars a long time ago, so I would like to get back to to the way it's supposed to be, constitutionally speaking. But we're a long way away from that, and that's not an issue for today. That's an issue for
I think when things go on,
a step back and evaluate issue.
But it's things go on in wartime that don't necessarily go on other times, in the sense that you kill first and ask questions later. And I don't think I don't think in the Constitution it says you can have a war on, quote, terror. You can have a war on hatred. You can have a war on people you don't like.
Know why we have a war on terror, don't you? We have a war on terror because we don't want to say we have a war against the radical Islamist nations. We don't want to say it. So.
Okay.
So we have, that goes back to, after the 9/11 attacks, nobody wanted to identify exactly who we were after, so we didn't.
I just have an issue. I mean, I obviously don't want anybody else killed here, but I also don't want to put in people's hands that maybe I don't trust, be it Obama or Trump, to be perfectly honest with you, the people I don't trust to say, if you don't like a guy in a country we don't even know we're at war with, you can send a drone in there and knock him out. I think that's way too much power for one person, Kevin. I honestly do.
Well, it is. In this case, though, I don't think it's specifically, I don't like them, let's go get them. I think in this case, it's reaction to a specific event.
But I read,
again, whether you think that is should be authorized or not, it is a reaction to an event, and to some extent, as commander in chief, the president has the ability to retaliate.
I wasn't really talking.
I would be more suspect, for instance, about going in and taking out Gaddafi, because I don't know that we had a reactive predicate for that.
Right,
I could be wrong about that and just not remember.
All right, we're starting with the, and again, as you know, I'm always on our side, and I never want to get our people killed. But I wasn't really talking about Trump. I was talking about Obama, the man with the alleged peace prize. I've read articles that they knocked off 2,300 people in drone strikes in his 8 years. Who the hell were these people? What'd they do? I mean, was there a trial? Was there collateral damage? Did they get the guy next door walking down the same street? I mean, man, I got a problem with that, Kevin. I really do.
Yeah, supposedly there was cause for all of them, I don't have any one that I'm willing to criticize. So again, it gets to be: do you like the process? No. Do you, in the individual instances, was there reason or cause? Perhaps so.
Okay, but here, in this particular case, all that I'm seeing, okay, this is the Hatfields and the McCoys or the Irish and the Northern Irish, somebody over there knocks off a little spot where we've got people that we don't even know that are there. contractors, and a few people get killed or not, or went wounded, or one. Yep. Oh, okay. So then we land and we kill 25 people. All right. So then they come over to the embassy and bust in and don't kill anybody, but make a lot of noise and do a bunch of crap. Now all of a sudden we assassinate this guy. Well, it seems to me we're 27-2 is the score here. I mean, what do we think we can do to people?
And we're going totally Nick Saban on them and running it up.
Yeah. what are the contractors there doing? Were they doing something they shouldn't have been doing? I don't know. I hope not.
Don't know, Tom.
I mean, it starts.
So
to move,
you know, those are questions, and they're questions that you and I probably cannot answer at the moment.
No, and I never will. I'm thinking.
Possibly.
SP futures down 37. NASDAQ futures down 113. We're coming back a little bit. Dow futures back under 300, only down 289. That's a plus. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708 408-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Lord, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tamales, Mr. Matt Weber, and the board. We have Sir Kevin O'Neill with us as well. And we have Fari pop in a little bit to tell us what he knows, being from that area. He's still got guys. S&P futures down 36. NASDAQ futures down 114. We're actually coming back on that. Dow futures down 276. They were 345 when we came in. Over in Europe, we got the DAX down 231. That's 1.7%. FTSE down 22. That's only 0.3%. CAC around down 30.5. So not much moving on there. In Asia, we've got the Nikkei still closed. Shanghai down 1. That's flat. Hang Seng down 92. So very muted there. This might happen. I don't think so. Must have happened right when those guys were closing. Bonds, 1.81. The interest rates are flying down here. One minus 0.28. They were minus 0.18 yesterday. Japan 0.02. Oil, as you can imagine, way up 215. 63.33. Brent up 242. 68.67. And we got gold up $20. 15.48. Silver up 14. 18.19 should be a good day for the good guys in that regard. Although I don't really want people getting killed, so my position is doing well. But I guess that's the black swan event they call Maddie, huh? That's what happens when you're long premium. You can, something like this is good for you, and when it's not, anyway, that's the way that is. Obviously, if you missed the news, General Qasem Soleimani, is that the, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Sounded pretty good.
Anyway, it's a pretty big escalation of something that started out as a little raid in a contractor camp a week ago. So I don't know. Anyway, Maddie, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Coming up on 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. Off to a pretty decent start on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. Our only issue right now is on the inbound Kennedy at Irving Park Road. There's a stalled vehicle blocking the left lane that's causing a bit of a slowdown as folks negotiate that disabled vehicle, but coming further inbound, closer to the circle, no issues on the Kennedy. Edens looks good. Eisenhower and Stevenson are nice and quiet, as a lot of folks are still off of work and school, this being the final day probably of your holiday break, if you're still on break. Southside expressways are looking good too. Off the expressways, it looks like Milwaukee Avenue and Oakton Street on the northwest side, there is a crash, and then down in southwest suburban Plainfield, there is a crash on Naperville Road. Looks like Naperville Road at 111th Street. There is an accident as well in Plainfield. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, overcast skies, cooler temperatures than we've been the last few days. In fact, our high is where we're at right now. So temperatures kind of holding steady in the mid-30s throughout the day and getting chilly tonight. Right now it's overcast and 38, and it'll be cloudy and cool all day long. For our Phoenix listeners, lots of sunshine today, a high of 64. Right now it's clear and 40. In sports, the Bulls rallied late to tie the Jazz, but fell short last night at the United Center, 102-98. Suns were off. They'll host the New York Knicks tonight. In hockey, Blackhawks were tied with 6 minutes to go, but they fell in Vancouver to the Canucks, 7-5. Blackhawks had their three-game winning streak snapped. Coyotes double-upped the Ducks, 4-2. And in college hoops, Illinois was blown out up in East Lansing, losing to Michigan State, 76-56.
Chief. See, now if your girl was here, she would say, Coyotes beat Ducks. Who the hell are Coyotes and Ducks? Just saying. My memory is not as bad as it should be here, or I think it is. Who shot down General Yamamoto? Death by P-38, a Lockheed P-38G Lightning, a 339 Squadron, 347 Fighter Group shoots down Mitsubishi G-4M1 bomber carrying Pearl Harbor mastermind Admiral Yamamoto, April 18th. 1943 in New Guinea somewhere. There you go.
It's pretty good, Chief.
Not bad for an old dude.
By the way, World War III is trending on Twitter, the hashtag World War III. And a few other folks have tweeted us that apparently former President Clinton, back in 1998 when he was awaiting his impeachment vote, he orchestrated a military strike seemingly out of the blue. And people thought it was a sort of a strategy to distract folks from the impeachment, and people are wondering if that's exactly what the Trump administration is doing.
We get the feeling that the, as I recall, that after what was it, 36 episodes of the Honeymooners, Kevin, Jackie Gleason said, we pretty much ran all the plots we can run. There's no new plots. Do we just keep, this is like a loop where people do the same thing all the time, and are people saying
it could be. In this case, though, you know, it's kind of hard to make that case that it's just done as a distraction when you have the other side cooperating with attacks of its own.
I'd like to go back to the beginning and find out what exactly the people that were doing there, these contractors and people, what they were doing, whose side are they on, how many people we still have there. I don't know any of this stuff, Kevin.
That's not really the point, though, Tom. The point is that there was the ability to retaliate for something. Again, you may disagree with the tactic. You may not like having the contractors there in the first place. Not really the point. If the point is to claim that Trump is just doing this as a wag the dog type of situation, that at least in this case there is, there is something, he's responding to something, and I think there's a lot of people that are going to be critical and skeptical no matter what Trump does, and rightfully so, but in this case, you know, there's certainly it's a counterpunch to something rather than an out of the blue attack on something.
I just say in my knowledge of the history of the Western world that I read it, and I'm sure out of all the history that's been written, I've read probably half of 1% of it. But like I say, the two times I've known something like this happening in history was when we knocked off Yamamoto in a state of war. Okay, I'm not criticizing. I'm just going, there might be way more to this than meets the eye, and this guy could be the world's biggest no good Nick, and this could be a terrific thing, actually. I don't know, but I'm saying the other was when the British knocked off Heydrich. Because they thought he was worse than Hitler, and if Hitler ever got out of there and Heydrich got in there, we would be worse off because he was just as mean and nasty and a lot smarter. So the British knocked him off, and they ended up, and it cost like an entire town their population. The cost of it was dramatic. Okay, and the other one was when Archduke Ferdinand got assassinated, and that started World War I. So it's not like knocking off somebody, a big shot in another country, in a time of non-warfare is an often thing. I mean, like I said, I've never been. I mean, the thought of,
I understand that. I was responding very specifically, yeah, though, to the notion that Trump just did this as a distraction to impeach.
I would not go that far. I would never accuse anybody of that when it happened, because not even him. I wouldn't do that. But I'm saying,
well,
this is
pundits on television doing it.
Well, okay, that's why they're. But that's, they've got more people listening to them than we do, because we don't do that. At least I try not to. Neither do you. But if we did, our group would be bigger. Now, it wouldn't be the same group that we like, but it would be bigger, right? That's the way of the world. I'm just saying, this is, I don't know, in a peacetime situation, taking somebody. I mean, if we were someplace, and Colin Powell was reviewing the troops in Afghanistan, and Iran took him out, I think we had a state of war. I mean, that's the way I feel when something like that would happen. I mean, why do we think these other guys are going to react differently? Is my question. I just keep, and
that's kind of the interesting part now, is how will they react? Because they certainly don't, they don't want to invite the bombers in.
No, but I what I'm saying is, did we?
So you know, are the Iranians capable of some kind of response here that is not going to signal their, you know, their impending heart, make it worse for them? Let's put it that way.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, do we really want war with these guys? It seems to me that we do. And who's the we that we do? I mean, if,
I don't,
If I'm
no,
sitting,
I don't think we do. I don't know that there's anybody.
If I'm sitting in the Oval Office, I'm just telling you right now, Kevin, and somebody says, this is our response, I'd go, too high up. No. That's way too high. I mean, who's on the way in? Maddie and I, somebody was on from Washington. He said it's the equivalent of knocking off our Joint Chiefs of Staff, Pompeo, or like the President, or Nancy Pelosi, or who's the guy in the Senate, McConnell. Because it's that high up. That in a non-declared war, that to me, that's too high, Kevin. First judgment. If I read more, it just seems pretty high up.
Okay, but on the other hand, I'm playing devil's advocate with you here. What if you're really knocking off the head of a terrorist organization? Is that different?
We can define that any way we want. I mean, it could be a terrorist.
Well, but it has been defined.
By who?
And it has been designated. You know, again, like it or not, he's on the list.
Okay.
That was done almost a year ago.
I'm not so sure that an assassination list, which includes high-end people in other countries, is... I don't know how legitimate that is, Kevin. I honestly don't. That we could just go knock them off whenever we feel like it.
Well, okay.
I mean,
and this goes back to your problem with President Obama, because that's exactly how it worked.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, I just happen to think...
So I do find it interesting that, and I'm not complaining about you in this case, that there are so many people who had no problem with it before, and now they have a problem with it.
I had a problem with the whole way, as you well know.
I know you did. Like I said, I'm not talking about you.
I try not to change my mind on stuff. I'm saying if it's... You and I have been friends a hell of a long time, buddy, and I'll tell you what. If you or Tim or John Flynn or Dave Murphy or somebody happens to be someplace, and the Iranians or some other damn guy decides to knock off somebody and you get wasted on the same block, I got a problem. For the rest of my life, the Irish, I've got a problem with that guy. And if I can get to him, I'm going to get to him. We're creating enemies with this stuff. I mean, you can't be a Don Rumsfeld and say, well, he's collateral damage, why he shouldn't bother, he shouldn't have been on the same block. No, Don, that's not my America. It might have been yours, but it's not mine.
There was no collateral damage in this case, though.
Okay, well, okay, he's the only guy that got killed?
No, but the people in the convoy did.
Okay, but I'm saying...
It was a surgical strike. It was very specific.
I'm saying every time you do this, now we went from one or two contractors to 25 guys to an embassy to this guy. Are we going to turn this into World War One? That's what happened when Duke Ferdinand went down, right? I mean, do we really want to ramp this up that fast? Is my question. The answer may be yes, Kevin. I'm not in the Oval Office. But right on the outside, it's like, boy, this is pretty fast. Is all I'm saying.
Are you really expecting it to turn into a major war?
Did they expect it in World War One?
Tom, are you expecting this to turn into a major war?
I think that if they do something which we think is ramping it up, we're going to use an excuse to do something. We'll bomb one of the nuclear facilities or something. And I don't know how they're going to take that. We're real anxious.
Okay. I'm thinking it's going to ramp down from here.
If Fari's right and they wanted him gone, yeah. If not, I don't know. They're just gonna.
I don't think it's going to turn into
so.
World War III.
I don't. Well, I don't want it to either, Kevin. I'm just saying.
I don't want. It's not. Yeah. I don't want it to. Yeah. I said I don't think it would.
I just hope you're right. So I'm saying you're 90% chance of right. It's a 10% I'm worried about. That's what I do all day. I look at a stock
and
I
get more like 99.99.
Okay. But somebody wins the lottery every week, right?
Yeah.
What are the chances of that?
They don't have a 10% chance of winning. They have a 90, very, very small percentage.
If they knew the chance, they wouldn't play. Right?
But we digress.
But yeah, I'm saying whenever you do something like this, all I'm trying to say in my trader mentality is every time you do something like this, you take a serious risk of something unintended happening. Right. Every time.
Sure. And if the question is, are we playing with fire here? Yeah, we're playing with fire here.
And is it really necessary? Is my question.
But you know, but who's playing with fire? Is the United States playing with fire? Perhaps. Is Iran playing with fire? I think so.
I do too. Well, I understand. But what are I'll go back to the beginning. What are the rules of engagement in a very unstable place that you're supposedly out of, and yet you have people there? What are those rules of engagement for your people, their people? It seems to me that it's a spot where bad stuff's going to happen. It's like
okay. Do you know what the rules of engagement are?
I don't think I'm saying I want to know what they are. I don't know what they are.
And I don't either. So I we probably shouldn't have that argument.
Well, I guess if you're Joe Schmo citizen, and your president tells you that you're out of a place, you might be dumb enough to think there would be no engagement. But you and I know better. We're never at any place. The question is to what degree. Yeah. Do we have an obligation if we're officially out to protect contractors that are over there making a fortune? I don't know what they're doing. But say you and I put together a group of people and, hey, it's pretty dangerous, but guess what? These idiots are paying $500 an hour to help fix this oil rig, and 10 guys go over there and do it. Do we have an obligation to protect those people? I don't know. Do we? I mean, some would say yes, some would say no. I'm saying, but that's a debate for a democracy to have. You don't just put them over there and say, oh, now we got to protect them. What are they doing there? Well, they're making $500 an hour. Well, that's their business then, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, the more I read about this stuff, the more, you know, in the Middle East, we've been messing around over there. One of my buddies, John Lee, bought me a book. We started messing around in there in what, 1790 or something?
Yep. Well, here, and let's, just because we're getting low on time, I mean, long term, I would really like to see us disengage from the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Much more than we have. But, of course, you know, the day we say we're going to get out of Syria, everybody, you know, not everybody, a whole lot of people start screaming about that.
Well, and, I mean, here's the other thing that you got to temper that with, though, Kevin. Is look at Korea. We never left. And guess what? There hasn't been a problem in 70 years. I mean, when you go into these places that have a problem, I think once you're in, unfortunately, you're in. When you pull a header
you're
off.
You're in, you need to stay, but we are not willing to do that either. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So we're kind of half in. And we either need to be all in or all out. And I'm fine with that. I think, you know, the idea that the United States can disengage more in that area, I don't know what you do about Israel, you know, because there has to be some kind of protection there. But the idea that, that we can disengage, you know, it's partly enabled by the fact that we produce so much more oil domestically now. So good for that. We're less reliant, and so, you know, I'm totally fine with that, and I am totally fine with backing out of there and doing less. But that's not where we are now.
Well, how could you ever, looking at the history of the last 150 years, it's hard to have that, I mean, as much as I would like to get out of these places, look at World War II. I mean, we had so many people here who were isolationists, and yet, I mean, Roosevelt was one of the few people that said, okay, this guy's knocking off a whole continent. What makes you think he's going to stop there? And then you're making somebody get powerful. I mean, we don't like.
Well, you also have the real politic issues with Russia and China, and are they going to fill the void? How's that going to work? Does Russia really want to fill the void any more than they already have? Because they, you know, it didn't go so well for them the last time when they got really involved in Afghanistan. So, again, I don't know what all the right answers are. All I know is that we need to be a little bit more clear about defining what U.S. interest is, why it's important, and then behave accordingly, and I don't think we do any of that very well.
I'm with you on disengaging, yet since we already made a mess out of Iraq, it's sort of like, you know, you can't disengage once you've already messed it up. I mean, you can't pull out. I mean, I don't know how you do. So, I mean, are we really ready to let Iran take over Syria and Iraq, and then with Saudi allegedly our ally? I mean, Saudis are their natural enemy, right? So do we really want this massive, whatever it would be called, on both sides of the Persian Gulf, running the whole place? And the answer is no. But we knocked out the only place that was, you know, a buffer or a stone against them. Now, we're sort of in whether we want to be in or not, Kevin. We're not, you know.
Well, and I think, you know, ultimately the strategy there, and that got derailed by a change in administration largely, but the strategy was to actually have a toehold in Iraq because the Saudis weren't very reliable.
Right.
And so at the time, after Iraq fell, the United States was putting in more bases in there, and they were closing bases in Saudi Arabia. But that has all changed. we don't have coherent long-term strategy.
Well, the idea that you went over and bumped out Saddam, you know, all the people who work for him and the bureaucracy, and I've seen we had a guest on, God, Manny, who was it that was giving us this whole story, that we wouldn't allow anybody in his party to be part of the new government. Yet those were the people that ran the government before. So, I mean, our ridiculous policy when we went in there to actually put the thing back together, I think we had a chance when we first went in to actually put a government together that included everybody, and we didn't do it.
Yeah, we were going to win hearts and minds instead, and that's stupid. That's not how a war goes.
No. So, I mean, we basically
worry about that later, and instead, yeah, I agree with you. The first thing they should have done was secure the borders of Iraq, because what happened is people started flooding in from all other kinds of places and running a guerrilla war.
So, I mean, we managed to...
Such as you can have a guerrilla war in the desert.
And you know what? The question here, I'm going to bring this one up out of nowheresville, but in our lifetime, Kevin, it seemed to me that back in the 60s and so forth, and I can't remember the names of the places as much as I should, whenever we had an issue like this, and I can think of a few places, I don't remember the names of them, is when there was a problem with the government and all this stuff happening, the United Nations used to actually go in and do some nation building, and they were pretty good at it for a while. Where instead of being the U.S. there, it was the U.N. there, or, you know, where it was somewhat more non-denominational. And I think it worked out. Why have we stopped using them? If Syria is a problem, why isn't it a United Nations job to put it back together and get a government running again? Although, because otherwise it's us fighting against the Russians, us fighting against the Iranians. It should be a combined effort, in my opinion, for it ever to work. Now, is it
probably
too much
to because we can't really get a consensus within the United Nations of what the objectives are?
Well, I think there's the objective would be
that's factionally aligned as well.
Well, but I think the objective would be Syria back to being a country, so everybody in Syria doesn't have to leave and piss everybody else off because they're piling into their places. Why at a humanitarian level could that not be the objective? I mean, what else is there? I mean, the idea that you have problems in Britain, you have problems in France, you have problems here, allegedly. Of the million, there's something like 60 million people in this world that have been uprooted by political stuff and climate problems. 60 million people, that's a lot, Kevin. I mean, what is the United Nations for? I mean, I think if they started work in Syria and Iraq, they could start there. I mean,
well, I think you're asking a perfectly fine question about the United Nations, and it would be nice if it were, if it were a functional operation, but
well,
it really isn't.
It would start with Putin and Trump and somebody else getting together and say, look, I don't want any people in Syria. Do you really? Why don't we both decide that this thing is going to become a country again and let a third party take care of it and we'll stay out of the way. Unless somebody messes with it, then we'll combine to go after those guys. I mean, to me, that's like the only rational solution. Otherwise, you just keep wrecking people's houses. You keep rattling the rubble is all you do. But look at these places in Syria that people are bombing, Kevin. The places are down. There's nothing there to bomb, and yet stuff's blown up. I mean, to me, the solutions aren't all that. They're very difficult to do, but they're not very difficult to conceptualize, are they? Some reason
you sort of get the idea here, and what a great closing thought that somebody out there as a general in the Middle East and for some organization or another is just like Beavis sitting out there going fire, fire, fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of people making a lot of money selling stuff. I mean, as my mother's cousin in Ohio once told me, in every war, there's a class of people that kids die, and there's a class of people that make money. And, well, World War II was different because everybody went, pretty much. Even the rich people's kids were flying planes and going down. Maybe that's what brought us together. I don't know, for the first time ever. But, I mean, I just hope this doesn't...
Well, and just to summarize from my point of view here, I need to know more before I really judge the action itself.
I do, too.
I think, you know, that we have a lot of... knee-jerk reaction going on in media now, some cheerleading, some criticizing, and all of it done without much factual basis, and that's a little frustrating to watch. So, you know, I, had some of it on this morning just so I could try and figure out what was going on so we could talk about it. And, they're all over the place, which kind of leaves me all over the place, too.
Oh, I know. I just, at the end of the day, and it probably won't happen for years, Kevin, I want to know how many of U.S., quote, camps, contractor camps, are there? What are they doing? How much are they making? And why do we feel like we have to, I mean, someday that'll all come out. I mean, do we have, are there 10,000 people there? 20? 5? 2?
Well, I'll bet you there's some people who actually have published on it, and we probably need to, who are the guys that do this kind of stuff?
We have to get Kathy.
People like that, and that's probably who we need to, little digging there.
We have to go have Kathy dig through her London Times and all the other stuff. I think I'm going to have to pony up today for Al Jazeera. I bet you probably can find something on Al Jazeera, whether it be right or not, I don't know. But you know,
it'll be a point of view. But the problem is anymore, it's hard to get. Say, well, let me just gather up all the points of view and then I'll decide, because even that is, not necessarily an effective way to do it.
Well, I just go back, Kevin. Last thought is first of all, last thought. Is the Big Ten got something wrong with the referees union or what?
Why would they do?
Well, I mean, Wisconsin got jobbed in that game. But it pass interference call. Where the hell did that come from? On the other guy? I don't know if you saw that or not.
The offensive pass interference in the Rose Bowl, yeah. Not that they would have gone down and scored and won anyway, but they could have.
They might have. All he needed was a field goal.
Yeah.
Anyway. Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you next week, maybe even earlier if this stuff accelerates. Anyway, we'll talk, buddy. SP Futures down 35. As that future's down 115, we'll get some points of view afterward. Mr. Wayne Mattson, next hour. This should be interesting.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including 4 past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering 3 research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top 3 tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than 3 decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Well, welcome back. Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Weber. We have Mr. Wayne Matson of WayneMatsonReport.com. SP Futures down 32 and a quarter, which was better than the 45 when we came in. NASDAQ Futures down 104. They were down 132. So I guess it's a rally. Wayne, how are you?
Very good. I was going to say Happy New Year, but this morning I guess I should say Happy New War.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, we had Kevin Anfari actually from Iran called in a little earlier, and he was very suspicious in how good this intelligence was, and he's wondering if this guy wasn't getting too close to the top in Iran, if they almost didn't help, which is an interesting point of view.
It wouldn't serve their purposes in Iran, certainly. General Suleiman is considered a hero in Iran. It's the man who basically led the, His Al-Quds force. It's a special forces. He really was in the same position as the head of the U.S. Special Operations Command, which is headquartered in Tampa. But he's viewed in Iran as the guy who took on Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria, ISIS in Iraq and Syria, and the Al-Nusra Front, which is another Saudi-backed bunch of jihadis. So, you know, unfortunately, by us assassinating him, apparently without authorization from Congress, Trump informed Putin and the Chinese leadership, the Israelis and the Saudis, without telling the congressional leadership what he was planning to do. But this whole thing is, you know, Trump further aligning himself with the Saudis and the Israelis, and just basically declaring war on the Shias, which are a major sect in Islam, and supporting the most radicals, which are the crazies who basically are financed by Saudi Arabia.
We had a long discussion with Kevin Anfari. When we say we're, if you can, Wayne, I'm trying to take this from the beginning, which is very hard to do. The original salvo, shall we say, was a group of Americans in Iraq that were contractors, and they were, I don't even remember the details. They were attacked, and did somebody get killed? A couple people get killed? How many people?
Yeah, one contractor was killed. You know, and we haven't heard what type of contractors these were. You know, I remember back in the 60s and 70s, these so-called contractors were called mercenaries. And really, yeah, you know, soldiers of fortune. Hey,
yep,
you know, if you go over and fight for some rebel force and you're killed, you know, hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles, you know. Your check isn't coming from Uncle Sam. It's coming from some, probably some Dropbox operation in London or in Switzerland.
Well, I guess my question is anybody capable of saying, even though we're supposed to be out of Iraq, how many people we either have of ours or loosely affiliated that are still there. I mean, and do we feel an obligation to protect them? When I say we, the general population, the Congress, or whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe the answer is yes. I'm not close enough to it. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, the issue is that Congress is finding it very difficult to get information out of this particular administration. Complying with the War Powers Act, the top eight leaders of Congress were supposed to have been informed of this action, and apparently, they weren't. The Kremlin was informed, Netanyahu was informed, the Chinese, but, you know, what about the Speaker and the leaders in the Senate? The other thing that bothers me is apparently Eric Trump on New Year's Eve tweeted out something to the effect that, you know, we're going to be kicking tail real soon. So it seems like Eric Trump was also informed before the congressional.
Well, if there was an impeachable offense, this going ahead without letting Congress know on these things and letting Putin know first, I'd much rather the guy get tossed out for that than whatever happened in Ukraine. I don't really care what happened in Ukraine, to be honest with you. I mean, I assume a bunch of people were stealing money like that.
I know, because it gets convoluted, doesn't it? You're listening to all these well-meaning people testify, and you say, well, they were doing, but, you know, for the regular, you know, Jill and Mary out there, they're like, I don't really understand this high diplomacy. But, yeah, not informing the congressional leadership of violating the War Powers Act. I definitely believe that's something people can relate to. And I also think it's very interesting. I believe it was yesterday, the chief counsel in one of the committees, I think it was the House Judiciary Committee, informed they informed the White House that they're reserving the right to bring additional articles of impeachment against Trump. This could very well be one of them.
Well, I was trying to talk to Kevin about it. I don't know of anybody this high up in any government that ever has been knocked off in a non-declared war. And I don't count the war on terror as a
it seem to violate the spirit of the executive order 12356. It's been in effect since Gerald Ford, and it basically makes illegal the assassination of foreign leaders. And this guy was in a leadership role. He wasn't a terrorist, even though the State Department declared the Al-Quds Revolutionary Guard Force a terrorist organization. We've declared other groups like that terrorist organizations, like the African National Congress, and you know, that was Nelson Mandela. So those designations to me mean nothing. It's just a way to basically freeze their assets.
It doesn't mean we can assassinate them on site.
That's right. It's one thing if it's Bin Laden or this Baghdadi guy in Syria, but it's a whole different matter when you're taking on somebody in a leadership role in government. And this guy was very powerful as far as the influence he had over Iranian foreign policy. And of course, he did sign off. Soleimani did sign off on the nuclear agreement that Trump pulled out of. So, that was a major reason why Iran agreed to comply with these international inspections.
Do you watch the series on, I don't know if it's Prime or whatever, the Jack Ryan thing?
I've not been able to catch any of it, but I hear it's pretty good.
It was really good, but the first one, the guy he was after in the Middle East, the guy who was behind he was Bin Laden, only worse. the guy's name was the exact same name as this guy, Soleimani. I don't, I'm not so sure if that was done by choice or by coincidence or what, but
yeah, it's sort of like The Simpsons. You know, there's several episodes that seem to have predicted the future.
Yeah, well, but he, this guy, he was putting everybody together for some big, huge. It was going to be an Ebola kind of thing or something. But it was, you know, the guy's name was Suleiman. You know, a little different, but anyway, so the
I think that's called predictive programming.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one book that who wrote the the Japanese guy flew the 747 into the Congress.
Right.
And and I'm thinking, boy, I hope some people don't learn from this. And sure enough, how many years later did we have 9/11? You know, I don't know if that's
exactly.
What they.
Exactly. I mean,
the last thing you want to do is start lobbing how-tos out there to the people of the world or level to grab it. You know,
something I just, I've been trying to read the wire service stories this morning. Something that struck me as odd is the State Department just put out the word that all Americans in Iraq should leave the country immediately. Now, if this had been, you know, well planned, this hit on Soleimani, I would have thought they might have started doing these exfiltrations of U.S. citizens beforehand, and did not wait till, you know, the situation, which makes me wonder whether this was just Trump trying to show off during his New Year's Eve dash at Mar-a-Lago and telling his son Eric, "Hey, we're gonna whoop some." Backsides here shortly, and then he goes ahead and tweets it out.
What was your guess if the Americans all leave there? What's the number? 5,000, 10,000, 20,000?
Oh, it's hard to say. We've got some forces up with the Kurds in northern Iraq, and they're probably safe.
I would say so. Yeah.
But the ones deployed in the rest of the country, I would imagine they have to be pulled out, yeah. Probably to Kuwait.
What I like to do, Wayne, I mean, hopefully I have the capability of doing it most of the time. I always like to put myself in the other guy's place. Now, it's hard for me to put myself in a place of, you know, somebody who's willing to kill people for religion. So I'm not exactly sure I can put my mind in the mind of the imam over there. But But the fact is, what would be our response if Pompeo was in Afghanistan and somebody knocked him off? I mean, I got to believe we would think that this was an act of war, and it would be a total war type of thing.
Especially if another country's defense ministry took credit for it.
Well, it gleefully took credit for it.
Yeah. That would be an act of war, absolutely.
And I don't know how well. My first blush is this thing has accelerated awful rapidly from some contractor. We don't even know what they were there getting bumped off. We don't even know why. When I say we, me and you, and I mean, maybe it's all perfectly legit. I mean, we don't have that information, but right now it's pretty hard to just roll with this. This reminds me of Archduke Ferdinand. I mean,
yes, that name is, I've seen the Archduke mentioned many times, and for a lot of policy wonks, you know, Middle East policy wonks, this is a worst case scenario. That Iran has the capability now to fire up all of itself in Saudi Arabia, and they're going to be hitting the oil facilities. We've got bases all over the area, military, air, naval. The 5th Fleet is headquartered in Bahrain, which has a large Shia population, which they look to Iran as their protector. So there's so many moving parts of this puzzle right now. One of the other things I've seen these policy people talk about is this administration prepared to deal with the aftermath since they fired most of the experts and specialists in the Pentagon and the National Security Council and the State Department, because Trump is going around calling them all members of the deep state. He's worried about this deep state, but he got us into something else that's pretty deep, probably with this territorial desire to, you know, say he killed this Iranian general.
Well, what? Well, I mean, a lot of things sort of make you nervous. One is, if you know, regardless of the politics of people, and I, you know, I never would say that everything Trump has done has been wrong. His personality is not mine, but but I'm not so sure if there is a real fiasco that comes out of this. I'm not going to say World War III or anything like that, but is this the gang we want to go to war with? And I'm going to say, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I've spoken. Of course, I know a lot of military retirees, and they're all saying, "Yeah, that's not the kind of guy I'd be, you know, laying my life down on the line for."
Well,
you know, I mean, it's not FDR, it's not, you know, Ronald Reagan or Dwight Eisenhower. It's Donald Trump, who thinks he knows more than the generals. He said so.
Oh yeah,
and he's a graduate of a military boarding school in New York, and he thinks that's equivalent to military experience.
Well, I'm curious. I just mentally, I'd like to find a way, Wayne, where this all stands down and becomes okay rapidly. And I just, by the way, didn't Pompeo just cancel a trip someplace? Didn't Pompeo or one of those guys just cancel a trip?
Yes, Ukraine. Twice he's canceled that visit. It's hard. And here's another guy. I know people that used to cover the State Department. They have their own press pool, just like the White House. And he's notorious for not giving any information out, not telling the press, about the, important visits. So it's, it's like, where's Waldo? Where's Pompeo? Any given day, you don't know where he's at and what he's up to. And I also, what this will do with the price of gasoline. I just noticed my neighborhood gas station just increased its gas prices by 10 cents.
Yeah, so well, the oil's up.
I don't
up.
Know if that's healing or the bottom.
Well, I can tell you in a second where, the oil prices are up, $2, but let me see where the RBOB's up 5 cents to 176. So, I'm trying to find a way where 3 months from now this is kind of all forgotten. And I just can't imagine that right now.
You know, memories are long in the Middle East. Unfortunately for us, because there's a lot of people now. After what we did with the Syrian Kurds, we left them high and dry. They were helping us battle. ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria, and now we have this Iranian general who's doing the same thing. By the way, in 2015, there's a photo, which I'm going to put up on my website later, of General Soleimani with U.S. troops in Tikrit, which was the hometown of Saddam Hussein, working with our forces to liberate Tikrit from control by ISIS. And we're then told, this guy was responsible for killing thousands of Americans. Well, but how many Americans was he responsible for saving? I mean, this is like a bizarro world where, black isn't white, up isn't down.
Is it possible to understand for one person to get a grip on everything that's going on over there? If you really...
Well, there are few and far between... apparently a lot of State Department specialists have either were fired or left or were forced out. So we don't have the ability to use these people who spoke the languages of the region, Farsi and Persian and Iran, and what they speak in Iran and Arabic and other critical skills that we need to run our foreign policy. And I'm afraid that some of these people I hear on TV say, "Hey, is this administration prepared for the aftermath?" And they're shaking their head and saying, "No." And I have to agree with them.
Well, I hope it doesn't. Is there any way that this could stand down, you think? I hope so. I mean, there's got to be a way.
Does Trump ever stand down? You know, I'm afraid that I was wondering why his tweets were, he went into a silence period on tweets, and I said to myself and say he's up to something, you know. But I think he looks at this as a mob hit because that's his background in New York, working with the five mafia families. Hey, so this guy Soleimani, we hit him. You notice how he even uses that in his language when he says, I hit Hillary pretty bad, or I hit, you know, I hit Biden. You know, that word hit is mafia language for, you know, doing harm to somebody. So I'm thinking that he's saying, hey, we hit this general, and we hit this other guy, the head of the Iraqi Shia paramilitary force. So yeah, we hit these guys, and just, you know, wait, you know, they better not try to hit us back, you know, thinking, you know, this is a battle between two mob families. I think that's very dangerous, his mindset.
Well, I guess our ramp up is pretty quick. Again, not knowing with the original, you know, who the people were they knocked off in the camp and what they were doing there.
They were actually at the camp. Yeah, we don't know much about that situation either, you know, because, and here's where the media, you have to fault the media. Remember when we first went into Iraq, we were getting reports out of Iraq. You notice where their reporters are now, where they're reporting on this? They're either in London or Istanbul, Turkey.
Right.
That's not exactly in country. So you're not going to have access to the sources sitting up in Istanbul or even worse, up in London. So, you know, they're into saving money. And, you know, are they companies looking out for the bottom line, or are they news organizations? I think they're looking out for their bottom line, and they're interested in entertainment, not delivering any news.
Well, I mean, I think just as a citizen, I think it would be nice to know that when one president, Obama, says we're out of a place, I mean, as I've read and seen people say that the two stupidest policy decisions ever made in the U.S. were one to go into Iraq and the other was to pull out, one right after another. So now the question is, most American people going to work today think we're, quote, out of Iraq. Now, if there are 5,000 people there making money doing something, or if we have some military stuff going on, I'm not talking about the Kurds, because that's a kind of a different thing. Do we feel we have the obligation to protect these people, and to what level? I don't know if that is my definition of out necessarily. Do we ever feel, other than all the other crap that people talk about all day long, the right and the left firing salvos at each other, this is serious stuff. I mean, are there still 20,000 people there that are making money or doing something or working for the oil companies? And if one of them, you know, gets kidnapped, we feel we need to send the fleet in there to go get them. And if it's,
well,
I mean, what are we doing here? If that's the case, okay. It just seemed kind of a surprise to me that some contractor gets bumped off and all of a sudden out of the blue, we've got this air raid on some place killing 24 people.
We don't even know what company the person works for. That's a problem.
It could be justified. I don't know. It just seems like, where did that come from? Then all of a sudden these guys are at the embassy, and even though they were a pain in the ass, basically, they wrecked some stuff. They didn't kill anybody. And then all of a sudden now we've got this. It seems like this is in 2 weeks. This is
Well, here's the issue. Right before this happened, we were told that ISIS was making a comeback in not only Syria, but also in Iraq. So were these Katusha rockets fired at this base? Was that collateral damage with the Shia forces, the pro-Iranian Shia forces, thinking they were going after ISIS? I mean, ISIS to them, this is a religious battle. ISIS represents radical Wahhabi Sunni religion. That's the Saudis. And the Iranians are, you know, Shia, and they don't like each other. And they don't like each other to the point where they will kill each other. They both view each other's religion as apostasies, as blasphemers. And, you know, when you throw that kind of thing into the mix, you know, you're not dealing sometimes with rational people. Now, the general, Suleiman, was obviously, you know, well-educated, had been liaising with U.S. forces for a number of years, after the rise of ISIS. And I have to say, that was our fault, too. We went in there and used these forces against Saddam, And then they turned around and said, good, now you get out of our country. And we, you know, we're in a battle with them, and they were getting funded by the Saudis. I would say the worst, the most dangerous country in the Middle East right now is Saudi Arabia. You know, they chop up a journalist right for the Washington Post. I see no evidence that the Iranians ever done anything that outrageous. And I've been in Tehran, and what I saw, a country that wants to join the world again, but not, you know, not on their feet.
Well, the leadership, there's a huge, there's a massive gap between the leadership there and the population.
Yeah.
I mean, more so than probably anywhere. I mean, do the people from, when you talk about, like, the Sunni people don't like the Shia, obviously. So if a Sunni group comes up and we put a name on them, they're ISIS, they're Al-Qaeda, do they even know that they're ISIS or Al-Qaeda? We're putting a name on or they don't care. All they know is they're fighting against the other guys.
As long as you give them a suitcase full of cash and, you know, guns, they're happy with it.
I mean, for how many years is everybody we killed was associated with Al-Qaeda? I don't know. Does Al-Qaeda even exist anymore? Do they even know the name? I mean, Bin Laden's been dead for a decade. You know,
they are apparently back in business in Afghanistan, Syria, and Iraq.
All right, Wayne, hang on to that comment, buddy. S&P futures all the way back to down 28. Now we're back 17 points since the show started. NASDAQ futures down only 88. They were down 132. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Werber on the board, and Mr. Wayne Matson. Matty, can we sum up so far our people by saying that, according to Fari, he was a singularly very bad guy, so we got that on the plus side, and we're not sure how well thought out the thing is on the other side. Does that pretty much sum it up?
Yeah, I think it does, although Fari said that he was revered by many people, and including the leadership, but sometimes when you get too popular, that's a bad thing over there, too.
Yeah, it's... Anyway, but he's been around for a while, and I guess he's responsible for a lot of the stuff those guys were doing outside of the country, so it's not like he's a good guy. S&P futures down 32, NASDAQ futures down 98. We're slipping south again here. We had made it back to only down 27. Dow's down 216. Over in Europe, we got sell-offs here. DAX, these are back up a little bit. DAX is the biggest hit, down 184, 1.4%. FTSE's only down 12, it's 0.1%. Tech Ground only down 14, so not much going on there. Over in Asia, that Nikkei's still closed. Shanghai's down 1, call that flat. Hang Seng down 92. The biggest movement, not much in bonds. Well, actually, the bonds are, the 10-year is down to 182. It was over 190 earlier in the week. The Bund minus 0.28, it made it back to minus 0.18. And Japan's still minus 0.02. We've got oil up 224. It's a big mover. That's 3.5%. 63.42. Brent up 258, 68.83. Natural gas, it's still 212, still pretty low. RBOB up 176, so you're going to wish you would have filled up yesterday. Gold now only up 16 bucks, it was up 20. 15.44, silver up 7 cents, 18.12, so we've got movement in oil and we got movement in gold. Matty, what do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. Light traffic throughout the area. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. We're clear on the Eisenhower and Stevenson. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Ford are all quiet. Suburban tollways are looking good, too. Probably the last day of our quote-unquote holiday travel times this morning, so enjoy a nice quiet commute if you are coming into downtown. Only crash in the area, still working on that issue on the northwest side, Milwaukee Avenue at Oakton Street, there is a crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, cloudy skies, temperatures falling compared to where they've been the last couple of days. In fact, our high is where we are right now, 38 degrees and cloudy, and we'll hang right around the mid-30s throughout the day with overcast skies. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 64 today. Right now it's clear and 41. In sports, the Bulls fell at home to the Jazz 102-98. Suns were off last night. They'll host the Knicks later on this evening. Blackhawks had their three-game winning streak snapped. They lost in Vancouver to the Canucks 7-5. Coyotes doubled up the Ducks 4-2. And in college hoops, Illinois was blown out in East Lansing, falling to Michigan State 76-56. Chief.
Hey, we got to talk a little bit, Wayne. You have to shift gears for a second with us here. What about football tomorrow and Sunday? What would we like?
Well, I have to admit I haven't been really following any sports with the impeachment getting back on the front page. I'm with you every year for it. How's that?
Well, we've got a couple of teams making it into the playoffs that are really banged up, which I don't know if, I mean, I guess it sort of happens every year, Matty, but it seems more pronounced this year that a Philadelphia team that you know, I'm going to say normally wouldn't be in there. I mean, they're 8-8. They're banged up, right?
They're 9-7.
Okay, 9-7.
But they are banged up, and they won 3 in a row to get into the playoffs and win their division and get in the playoffs. So they get to host the 11-5 Seahawks because they're a division winner and the Seahawks are not. And the Seahawks now have to travel across the country, Seattle to Philadelphia, which historically is not usually met with a lot of success when West Coast teams have to travel all the way to the East Coast like that. So that's a Sunday primetime game, 3:40 kickoff. Tomorrow's games are the Bills and the Texans. Seems like those one of those two teams, if not both of them, plays in the early Saturday wildcard game every single year. And then the nightcap is the Titans and the Patriots. And the Patriots haven't played on wildcard weekend in 10 years. They've always had a bye, and so not a good recipe for them. They host the Titans, who are 9-7 and squeaked in the playoffs, winning their final week.
What do you think about the Texans bringing back Watt? Is he going to help them at all?
Well, he's not going to hurt him. I don't know how healthy he is, but he's going to give it a go after he had a partially torn pectoral muscle, I believe it was. He's missed the last, 8 weeks or something like that, but he's eligible to come back and he's going to play. And he's, if he can eat 80% of JJ Watt rushing the quarterback is probably better than his replacement. So he's going to give it a go. And, I like the Texans at home there, but that should be a close game. And then I think the Patriots will have no issue with the Titans. The other game that we didn't mention is, Saints hosting the Vikings, the Sunday noon game. Central time, 13-3 Saints at home versus the 10-6 Vikings, who are kind of sputtering a little bit here in the last few weeks. The Saints are favored, and I think the Saints will have no issue with Minnesota.
Is there any 10-win team that didn't make the playoffs because of Philly get in?
No.
I don't think so.
Not this year. Sometimes that happens,
yeah.
But for whatever reason, this year, that didn't happen.
Philly, so the Eagles.
Yeah, the... In the AFC, there was no even 9-win team that didn't make the playoffs. The Steelers were 8-8. They were the closest team to not make it. In the NFC, Dallas was 8-8, and they didn't make it. The Bears were 8-8, and they didn't make it. And the Rams were 9-7, and they didn't make it. So the Rams were the only team above 500 in the league that didn't make the playoffs this year.
When the head coach calls all the plays and doesn't let the other people essentially do the job that they're hired for, how does the head coach with a crummy offense fire all the other guys like the Bears?
Well, that's a good question. I certainly wouldn't blame those guys specifically, they felt like they had to make some changes somewhere, and they weren't going to fire themselves, talking about the GM and the coach. So there you go.
Well, I'd love to see the offensive line coach go back to Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah. That wouldn't be a bad thing, although Notre Dame had a pretty fine season this year, I would say.
Well, but I mean, he's... Everything I hear from there is he was sorely missed, even though the other guy's probably okay, but this guy's considered one of the best.
Yeah, Harry Hiestand, who you're talking about, who's been with the Bears the last few years. The Bears offensive line was really bad this year, although I don't necessarily blame him for that. I don't think they have the horses, especially with Kyle Long, not being effective and then being injured. Some of the younger guys not taking the next step. They have absolutely no tight ends, and they couldn't wait to fire their tight ends coach.
Yeah.
When they have like a skeleton crew of tight ends. And then the quarterback didn't make any positive improvements, so they fired the offensive coordinator. So, you could blame those assistant coaches if you wanted. You could blame the head coach, which is probably
more feasible. Or you could blame the fact that the guy was hurt.
Or you could blame the general manager who assembled this roster. And, it was good enough, I guess, last year at 12-4, but this year it was not.
It's always
plus somewhere. Their injury luck was not nearly the same this year as it was last year. Their schedule was tougher this year. I mean, all those things factor in, and we knew they would because you're never going to be as healthy as they were 2 years in a row. That just doesn't happen. And then we knew the schedule was a little bit harder, and there you go. Now you're 8-8.
What do you suppose the, we'll get back to the other stuff in a second. Everybody talks about the curious case of Kyle Long. Not only was he there, then he was gone, but then he was like banned from the place. It wasn't even allowed to. They put him in permanent hiatus. He's not even doesn't even go back to the place anymore. Something's weird with that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
They were saying the curious. What was the words they used? The curious, whatever. A word where he was almost like banned. I mean, do you think he could still play or not or whatever? I mean, there must have been some issue there.
I think he's going to retire, but. If he wants to put the rehab in and he thinks he's got a year or two left, then he should go for it, but it's not going to be with the Bears.
Which is weird. That's what I'm saying. It's they're saying the fact that he was totally shut off like that. I mean, what? Anyway, Wayne, the sports world is you don't really have a whole lot to cheer about with your Redskins, though.
Well, the Redskins, they come and go as far as they either are very good or they don't, you know, they don't even register. I was going to ask, is there any truth to the story that the owner of the Patriots has promised the team all a free massage in Florida if they win the Super Bowl?
With happy ending? Or, yes. Oh, God.
Well, I didn't want to get into those details. Yeah. But
what, with J.J. Watt, I'm going to say, since I have some clients and people that are into this, plus my couple of doctors I know are into it, they claim that the stem cell treatment is helping a lot of these guys. I mean, virtually every quarterback over the age of 30 took stem cell treatments in their shoulder last offseason.
I think it absolutely is helping, and I don't think it's a coincidence that not just quarterbacks, but just professional athletes in general. We see it with baseball players. We're seeing it with NBA players. Guys are playing well into their late 30s now,
yeah,
at a high level. And
yep,
it used to be, you know, you'd kind of hit your prime at 27, 28, maybe 29, and then at about 33, you'd start to decline, and then by 35, you were done. And now it's like guys are, their prime is extending to 35. And they're not even showing signs of slowing down until 36, 37 for the really good players. And I think that that's a huge part of it.
Well, I think some of it is, the case of Roger Staubach, he, in those days, he basically got, I'm going to say, a halfback played, you know, 7 years. And it almost didn't matter whether he started playing when he was 30 or 20. I mean, you got like 7 years of getting beaten up as a Walter.
And that's
Walter
the great ones.
Yeah,
that's
Walter Payton waited like 12, which is incredible.
The average ones make it like 2 years.
Yeah, and but I mean the quarterbacks made it, you know, 10, 12 years and were done at, like you say, mid-30s. But Staubach, because he was in the Navy, didn't really start till he was 25. And when he was 35, he looked a lot younger because he didn't have the 3 or 4 years.
Sure.
It's almost like like Scottie Pippen played how many more games or Duncan Keith than anybody else because they were in the playoff every year.
Yep.
Type of thing. And I wonder if J.J. Watt was doing some of the deal is, Wayne, I don't know if you ever, is they could, evidently they use them in the joints here in this country. But if you go to South America, they'll give you like an intravenous shot of it to like supposedly gonna fix everything. I need one of those, I think. All the stem cells, they go back to be like 25. I don't think that's gonna work on me, but I don't know if that works so much. But evidently being injected in knees and ankles and shoulders works pretty well from what I hear.
Well, I think that, LeBron James is the perfect example. He's a guy that came straight out of high school.
Yeah.
He's made it to the finals almost every year of his career. He's played basically the maximum number of games you can play. He's played in every single Olympics.
He never gets hurt. He rarely gets hurt.
Right. He's played in every Olympics, every All-Star game, all that stuff. And at age 35, which, like I said, like you said, his 35 is like other people's like 42.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because he didn't play, came straight out of high school. He's been playing 82 games since, you know, he was 18 years old. And that's just regular season, not counting playoffs and everything else. And the guy's numbers this year are basically the same as his career numbers. It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It really is. And being healthy is not so bad.
I think part of it's genetics. I mean, he's a freak. We know that. But part of it, I think that the way they take care of their body and the way you never hear about him with the crazy late nights like you did with Jordan and stuff like that. And then the treatments that they get, like you're talking about, going to the special doctors in Europe every off season. I mean, I think there's a lot of that stuff going on.
Well, I think a lot of it just is the difference. I mean, those guys back in the day used to fly commercial, for God's sake. And if the plane got canceled, they'd be sitting in the airports for 3 hours. I mean, imagine what that would take the toll on you during a year.
Right.
Anyway, Wayne, what else? Can there be anything else going on in Washington? Do we ever get like a regular bill passed out there these days or no?
No, there's plenty of bills passed by the House. Then they go over to the Senate, and they go into Mitch McConnell's black hole. He takes no action on a lot of this legislation. There are probably 100, well over 100, maybe 200 bills were passed this past session, and very few of them saw the light of day after they got kicked over to the Senate side.
Wayne, I have a question on this history because I don't have anywhere near the skill set here that I would like to have, but it strikes me that despite the party line, and you know, my theme in the last month or so, and I don't think people are pissed off at me because of it, but is virtually everything you see is a lie. The CPI numbers is a lie. The what the Fed is doing is a lie. What they're telling you they're doing versus what they're doing. I mean, instead of getting better and better with all the alleged press we have, it's getting worse and worse because it seems like there's nobody in the press that can actually write a lucid article about it and put it a 3-page article in U.S. News and World Report like they used to that people would actually read. It's more than 3 lines.
I certainly agree with that as somebody who tries to report the news every day. I turn on these so-called news channels, and it's very disconcerting because I, you know, the people that I were my mentors were, either started out in newspapers and stayed there, started out in newspapers and went to radio or television. Most of them television, but I see no quality people like that left in the media today. They're all seem to be, Anderson Cooper, he claims, oh, it was so tough for him to break into television news. What, when your mother's Gloria Vanderbilt? Tough is that?
Yeah, how tough is
and,
that?
And then you see him giggling with that other guy on New Year's Eve. You say, I'd say, you know, picture in my mind, Chet Huntley or David Brinkley or Walter Cronkite or Howard K. Smith doing that. And, of course, they wouldn't. It's unbelievable how, I guess what Ed Murrow said, when you start mixing the interests of Hollywood, the entertainment side, with the news, then this business is really at an end.
Well, I don't think people...
He said that back in the, I guess it was the late 50s or early 60s when he made that those comments to a press gathering.
Well, I think when you... I'm sure it was not, you know, I don't want to look at the rose-colored glasses of history because what did Mike Royko say about Ronald Reagan? He had a myopic view of an America that never existed or something like that.
It was a Norman Rockwell view.
Yeah.
But,
I think that for the most part that the networks, I won't use the term because they sure sold commercials, essentially gave up a half hour to an hour a day to quote news. And granted, they fought over whether, you know, Walter Cronkite was the best guy versus Dan Rather on the other station or whatever. And they definitely competed with that. But the idea was you were to put the news out for 15 minutes or a half hour.
Right.
And now it is absolutely all ratings. I mean, there's no, the news
right.
will get totally skewed. I mean, whatever, but my, what I, and one of the things I was a long way of getting there, long story short, too late, huh? If you listen to people, and every, even you go to a cocktail party or a library, which Manny and I always go to the library, all you hear is people ragging on, you need term limits and you need to get these people out of office. Okay? Yet, I happen to know, certainly here in Illinois, and you know where I learned this? Believe it or not, I got dragged to a, what's the Jewish political organization? AIPAC.
Oh yeah,
I went to a couple of the AIPAC things because they needed to fill up a table. But I learned so much from those guys because they're the consummate lobbyists.
Yeah,
pretty much. And for those who don't know, it's the American Israeli Political Action Committee. But these guys, if you're in Congress, they're going to take you to Israel. I mean, if in the first couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And the idea is, you know, you've never seen. Where you can go up on a hill in Chicago and look at Naperville and see a guy with guns aimed at you, you know,
yeah.
And the type of thing. So, it's, you know, obviously it's, they're pushing their own stuff, but they also have stuff to show. I mean, anyway, these guys would say, one guy says, whoever thinks that there's not a turnover in Congress is an idiot. Because we have more turnover now than we've ever had. Because we know, because we're taking these people to Israel and our budget has exploded. Because there's districts that have had 4 different people in the last 4 elections. He goes, that no.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, some really good people, I think, here in Illinois have been elected. I mean, Maddie's kind of with me on it. As a matter of fact, he's the one who pointed this out to me a little bit. Is the issuance of people quitting because they get there, and like you say, McConnell just, you know, tells every, we're not just going to do it. What is a freshman senator that's a Democrat do all day out there? I mean, Pelosi is just as bad on the other side. What is a freshman? God help you, you're a Republican. What do you do all day? I mean, what do you think you accomplish as a rookie? We have so many people in Illinois that are quitting after the first term. It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah. What they do is they try to look for somebody on the other side, maybe another freshman or not, to see if there's some common interest where they could co-author a bill. And it does happen a lot. I mean, it's not going to happen on fundamental issues, but there's a lot of issues having to do with drug prices. They'll find some other guy, and then if it's bipartisan, it of course has a better chance of at least getting McConnell's attention, and he may not take any action on it. This is one of the things Joe Biden the other day saying he would consider a Republican running mate. See, Joe Biden's view of the world is from the 1960s and 70s, when members of the Senate could be a Democrat and a Republican, and they're good friends. They go out to eat together. Their wives are friends. They go golfing together, all this stuff. You know, those days, for the most part, are over with. They're gone. And he's still thinking, I was able to get along with Bob Dole in my day. Yeah, but the Bob Doles in the Republican Party, they're gone. I know he's still alive, but it's this tribal politics now where, you know, you're from the other island and, you know, we don't deal with you. And Biden believes that we can return to those days. I don't think, no, I disagree with him. I think, what Trump has done is, we're going to be stuck with this for many decades to come.
I think somehow you got to return to it somehow. We used to have, before he resigned, we used to have Senator Matt Murphy here on the show quite a bit from Illinois. After one day, I asked him, I go, well, do you ever talk to people on the other side? He goes, those are the guys I drink with. The Republicans are a bunch of duds. He's a Republican. Yeah. The Democratic guys are funny. He goes, I don't agree with them, but I like going out with them. We're going to go watch a game or something.
Well, you know, I once spoke to a member of the Congressional Black Caucus who said, look, I can get along with some of these white Southerners who, you know, are very right wing. She said, it's other guys here in the Black Caucus. I can't trust them.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's always pulling something behind your back.
Well, I mean,
I don't think we'll return to those days, but also if we were, we got to get back to fair and accurate news reporting. Because if somebody's going to watch Fox News all day long, they are not going to have an idea what's actually going on, because it's constant propaganda.
But how do you? But even on the
Fox and Trends,
on the economic side, which I'm more familiar with, Wayne. I mean, I just got one of the listeners was nice enough to send me this kind of an alternative consumer price index site, and they name a couple of times some Boskin committee or something I've forgotten all about. They said they actually went through and rejiggered the thing to where they know that they're underreporting it. They're doing it purposely to save money on entitlements, which I get why you're doing it, but I don't understand how somebody could get on national TV who's supposed to be an economist and supposed to know something and say, well, clearly people are doing better because look at where the CPI is and look where the wages were last quarter. So the way I figured, everybody's up 1.5%. No, they're not. I mean, I understand why the government is doing it. I mean, I don't agree with it. I don't think you should ever lie to people. But to take that further, it's like the unemployment rate. The unemployment rate, when my first class in college, I remember it, Wayne, I walked into macroeconomics, and the guy goes, I can't believe we're still using this stupid number. It's the worst number there is, because all it does is kind of figure out who's looking for work, who isn't. I mean, it doesn't mean it's not an indicator at all. I mean, it clearly is.
Yeah.
But if you look at right now, you see the people that are looking for work are now over, a lot of those people have made it into the permanently not in work column.
Yeah.
And you haven't, I mean, and they're on somehow permanent disability or someplace. And, you know, granted, we all know that the employment situation to get a job is better than it was 4 years ago. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But still, you when you say these kinds of numbers and you keep pounding them at people, and you know they're wrong, or you should know they're wrong. You wonder, how does this have a place here? And it, I mean, I'm sure we're going to get nothing but wrong stuff on both sides about this thing that happened in Iraq. I mean, trying to...
Oh, yeah.
That's why I'm counting on, you to...
economic statistics, but what about issues of war and peace?
Yeah.
Now we're really talking about some dangerous ground.
Well, I mean, are we ever going to find out who the contractors were, the racket that hit them, was it aimed somewhere else, was it a mistake? We don't seem to care about our mistakes. Now, if somebody else, now we're going to blame somebody. I mean, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe.
And we always have to be careful of false flag operations.
Wayne, thank you very much,
buddy. Were rockets fired, in fact, by Iraqi Shia forces, or could they have been fired by Al Qaeda that wants to see, things explode again?
Wayne, one thing's for sure is.
Would benefit.
One thing's for sure is we got a dash. We'll have you on soon because this issue is not going away. SB Feeders down 32, NASA Feeders down 101, back on Monday.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.